एते सभवा साध्वि सर्वसंग विवर्जिता संगस्थेष्वथते चरत्या संग दोसहरा हिते। O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. We are reading this evening from the third canto, 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here Lord Kapila Muni, who is a great avatar of Lord Sri Krishna, is explaining to his the qualities of great devotees of the Lord. What are the characteristics of a sadhu? Sadhu is not judged by external appearance, but the sadhu is judged by his words, by his actions, by the qualities that he manifests. In fact, in the Vedic literatures, everything is judged on the basis of quality. Chaturvarna mayastristam guna karma vibhava. That the four varnas and the four ashrams, Krishna does not give any reference to janama or birth. Being a Brahmin does not mean taking birth in Brahmin family and wearing a sacred thread. Because after all, for 50 paisa, anyone can buy a sacred thread. In fact, Ravana was born of a Brahmin family. And similarly, Hiranyakashipu was born in a Brahmin family. So, this is not the credibility that Krishna expects such Brahmins to have. Similarly, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra, or a Brahmachari, or a Sannyasi, or a Grihastha, or a Vanaprastha, all of these various varnas and ashrams are judged according to the qualities that one possesses, the exemplary behavior. For example, Grihastha is actually a very exalted position. A Grihastha means literally that your house is an ashram. It is a place that has been exclusively dedicated in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, where the husband, the wife, and all the children dedicate their lives to the service of Sri Hari, where all food is cooked as an offering to Krishna, where all money is utilized for the service of sadhus, to make one's house a nice temple for the benefit not only of your own family but for all guests, spiritual benefit. It is a place where strict regulative principles are followed and where a major portion of one's money is given in charity. This is Grihastha Ashram. Anything less than this is called Grihamedi, which means your house is a dark well. It is a place where there is spiritual starvation. It is a place of envy. Because everything's the property of God, and to not use what belongs to God in God's service is a characteristic of envy. This is called griha medi. Most householders in this whole world are simply griha medis. To be a grihasta is a very, very esteemed position. And to be a sannyasi doesn't mean simply to take a vow unless you follow it. To be a sadhu does not mean to just mat your hair and roam around naked, or to beg donations, or to wear saffron, or to shave the head. To be a sadhu is explained according to the characteristics that one is constantly speaking the glories of Sri Krishna. That one controls one's senses and uses them always in the service of Sri Krishna. That one is willing to live and die for the benefit of others without selfishly thinking of his own welfare. This is a sadhu. Tatikshiva karuna ka surada saravadehinam ajata satrava santa sadhava sadhu bhushanam. He is tolerant. He is willing to accept any abuse upon himself, but is always anxious to be kind to others, to uplift others, to show respect to others. In this way, always the compassionate, kind friend. No one is his enemy. He is the well-wisher for everyone. And he is constantly thinking, constantly speaking, constantly acting for the glorification of Sri Krishna. Now in this material world, everyone is attached. There are three modes of material nature: tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna. And the whole world is running under the spell of attachment to these three modes of material nature. Some people are very attached to sleeping or to taking intoxications or to engaging in cruel, envious works that cause harm to others, to avenging enemies. This is called tamaguna. Some people are very attached to making lots of money, to gaining tremendous amount of prestige, to enjoying the pleasures of sex, to enjoy decorating one's body with all fine decorations, to acquire more and more and more and more and more power, prestige, and wealth. This is called attachment to rajaguna. And others are attached to sattvaguna. They are attached to doing good philanthropic work. They are attached to hearing nice classical music, to hearing nice poetic dissertations, to giving in charity, to feeding the poor, to healing the sick. This is another type of material attachment, sattvaguna. But from sattvaguna, it is a springboard by which we can transcend the modes of material nature. But Kapila Dev is here explaining to his virtuous mother, Devahuti, that the goal of life is to become free from all material attachments. to be liberated from all attachment to tamaguna, rajaguna, as well as sattvaguna. Because as long as there is any attachment to anything of this material world, there is another birth. There is the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. Until there is complete detachment from the modes of material nature, we are forced to suffer the repetition of birth and death. And according to the degree we indulge in the three modes of material nature by our attachments, there are various levels of existence that we can attain. Krishna says in Gita, Abhrama Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartano Arjuna Mamu Petya Tukonteya Punar Janma Navidyate. From the highest, most virtuous, pious planet, Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is a place for those who are purely in sattvaguna. It is almost an impossible destination to attain. It is a place where you live without fear for billions of years. But ultimately, when your pious activities are exhausted, you have to fall, you have to die from that position, and the soul again has to fall into miserable condition of life. He says, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, this material existence is a place of misery. Unless we are convinced that rajaguna, tamaguna, sattvaguna, any situation in this material world is ultimately miserable, we cannot make proper spiritual advancement. Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Yatopi vidyete grihavratanam adandavo birvashadam tanishram punapunash charvata charvananam Matirana Krishne Paratashvatova. He said that, my dear father, as long as one thinks that this material world is a place to enjoy, it doesn't matter how much religious performances one may endure, it doesn't matter how much tapasya one engages in, it doesn't matter how much charity, no matter how many mantras you chant, you will never escape the clutches of birth and death. You have to be convinced that this is a place of misery. And it is a fact. Doesn't matter what arrangement you make in this world. Living in a nice house does not provide any more comforts, ultimately, than being a poor man. Today I was in train, coming from, ultimately, from Dwarka Dham. And I saw close by a very, very wealthy, prestigious person. But he was suffering terrible pains in his body. His legs, his arms, they were just, he must have had terrible arthritis. And he was just complaining about how much he was suffering. He could hardly walk. He could hardly move. He had all servants and everybody helping him, that he must be paying very highly. And then I saw one of these baggage carriers. You know, they wrap the gumsha in their head and they pick your bag up. He had strong, stout body. He was jumping. Give me your bag. The man probably sleeps in the street. But I was thinking that this rich man would probably give all of his wealth to live on the street with a healthy body like this man and carry people's bags on his heads. Huh? He wasn't suffering. At least, not at the time. So what is the real standard of happiness? No matter what you have, no matter what you accomplish, if you're diseased, you're suffering. Or if you're in fear, you're suffering. And nothing can change that. The only thing that can change the predicament of this world is to get out of it. To try to decorate your jail cell is not a very intelligent proposal. Better to get out, to become free. As long as we are under the misconception that we are this material body, and as long as we are trying to enjoy through this body, through attachments to the three modes of material nature, we have to suffer. And it is unnatural for the soul to suffer. Lord Kapila Dev is here explaining that in order to become detached from the pains and pleasures of this material world, this is the process. We must become attached to the sadhus. Not to simply give up our attachments, but to transfer the propensity for attachment from material to spiritual. After all, who in this world can be completely detached from anything? It is impossible. The nature of the mind, the nature of the senses, and the nature of the soul itself is to be attached to God. And if we forget that attachment to God, then we invariably, undoubtedly, become attached to the three modes of material nature. But to become attached to Krishna, which is the ultimate goal of life, is very difficult. But to become attached to his devotees is the means by which we become attached to Krishna. Because Krishna reveals himself in this world through the sadhus. There's a beautiful story in Chaitanya Charitamrita that explains how anyone will attain the perfection of life if they simply become attached to devotees. This story begins where one of the very loving servants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is avatar of Sri Krishna, he was bringing so many of the devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri to Sri Lord Gauranga. His name was Shivananda Sen. Who is the best devotee of the Lord? The one who is the best servant of other devotees. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to have a very simple formula by which he would know who was a real sadhu and who wasn't. When some great saintly person would come to meet him, sometimes very famous saintly people, he would ask him a simple question. Are you a devotee of Krishna? If the person said, yes, I am a devotee of Krishna, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, my dear Mahatmaji, please forgive me, but I'm very busy. You'll have to excuse me and go away. He would not talk to such a person. But if that person responded to the question, are you a devotee of Krishna, by saying, no, I am a devotee of the devotees of Krishna. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, I have all day to spend with you. To think we can approach God directly is an illusion. The greatest devotees of Krishna are the greatest devotees of the devotees of Krishna. And this is the benediction that all the great devotees ask for. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered by Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, any benediction, Kuvera could have given all the wealth of the heavens to Dhruva. He had that power. Dhruva asked for only one thing. I don't want the wealth of heaven. That will bring me no happiness. It will only bring me entanglement and bondage. I ask one benediction. Let me become the servant of the devotees of Lord Hari. And when Prahlad Maharaj was asked by Lord Narasimhadev, any benediction, ask it. What did he ask? Let me be the servant of your devotees. This is the one benediction that all great personalities ask for. So Shivananda saying, although he was in the most exalted position of being one of the most intimate associates of the Lord, his greatest goal in life was to simply serve the devotees. So every year, the devotees went on yatra from Bengal to Jagannath Puri in order to have the darshan of Lord Jagannath as well as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And every year, Shivananda Sen would make all the arrangements for all the hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas. He would have to arrange all the food. He would have to arrange the lodging facilities. He would have to arrange, because in those days, there were so many different little kingdoms in India. And each time you go into one and out of one, you'd have to pay taxes and go through borders. He would have to arrange all of those technicalities. Serious, serious service. With tremendous responsibility. But his only goal was let me suffer going through all of these arrangement makings and let all the devotees be comfortable and have a smooth journey. One day, as Shivananda Sen was traveling with the Vaishnavas, a dog entered into their congregation. And somehow or other, this dog became very attached to Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen, he didn't discriminate who's a Brahmin, who's a Kshatriya, who's a Vaishya, who's a Sudra, who's an untouchable Chandala. He saw that every living being is part of Krishna, and every living being has the right for Krishna. So because that dog happened to come into their assembly, he considered it his duty to God to take care of that dog as he was taking care of all the other Vaishnavas. And every day he would give the dog nice rice prasad. And because Shivananda Sen was giving this dog nice prasad, the dog became very attached to him. So much attached to Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen became attached to the dog, but not material attachment. Material attachment means being attached to simply enjoying the body of the dog. He was attached to serving Krishna, who was in the heart of that dog. One day they came to a river and they had to cross it by boat. And all the Vaishnavas got on the boat. And then the dog was coming. And the boatman said, no dogs are allowed on this boat. Shivananda Sen said, we cannot go without this dog. He has become one of our devotees. So Shivananda Sen paid special extra money just so that dog could come on the boat, because the dog was on its way to Jagannath Puri. One day, Shivananda Sen had to spend a long time working out various taxes and tolls at one border. So he told one of his associates, make sure that while I'm away, you do not neglect to give this dog his rice. So he came back after taking care of this seva, and the dog was gone. And Shivananda Sen asked, did you give the dog rice? I forgot to give the dog rice. Shivananda Sen was thinking it was due to his own sinful nature that he had offended this dog by not taking responsibility better. Anyways, some days later, when they arrived at Jagannath Puri, they came to Lord Chaitanya's home. And when they bowed down, who was sitting beside Lord Chaitanya but the dog? And Lord Chaitanya was personally feeding the dog green coconuts with his own hands. And he was eating. And the next day, that dog disappeared. It had gone back to Vaikuntha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, because that dog was attached to Shivananda Sen, that dog was the recipient of my special mercy, that I fed him with my own hands, and I personally, with my own hands, sent him back to the spiritual world. The dog was not a Vedic scholar, but the dog was attached to a devotee. And therefore, the great learned scholars of the Vedas, who actually understand the essence, they pray to be a dog in the house of a devotee. They pray to be attached. The same way a dog is attached to a master, they want to be attached to the devotees. So this is what Lord Kapila Dev is explaining to all of us. Those people who are most attached to serving devotees of the Lord, that person you should become most attached to. Those people who are doing the most seva for other Vaishnavas, that person is the person you should become attached to, because attachment to that person alone will bring you back to the spiritual world. Because when we become attached to the devotee, because the devotee is so dear to Krishna, Krishna becomes attached to us. It is natural. It's like we have Priyavrat. Now he is resting. If anyone in this room becomes very attached to Priyavrat and pleasing Priyavrat, he will be the most dear person in the whole creation to Hridayananda Das. Correct? Because he loves Priyavrat. So whoever's attached to Priyavrat, naturally he becomes attached to that person. favorably attached. In the same way, those devotees who have given everything in the service of the Lord, they are most dear to the Lord. And if you become attached to that devotee, Krishna becomes attached to you. I remember our own Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. He was so expert at getting people to become attached to him. But the attachment was never to him. It was to Krishna through him. Prabhupada used to say that a sadhu is like a bank teller. He doesn't give anything and he doesn't take anything. Whatever is given, whatever attachment is toward him is attachment to Krishna. And whatever Krishna is giving him, he's giving to others. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes children, they will not understand his translations of the Vedas. They will not understand lectures. He would simply give them cookies. I remember when Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, everywhere he went, before he would give Srimad Bhagavatam class, there would be Guru Puja, and during Guru Puja, he would give cookies to all the children. And if you didn't have cookies for him to give to the children, he would become very much displeased with the temple. And he would give each one to each child. And the child would just like so much eating his cookies that they would love him. Every day he's giving us nice cookies. And how much kindness, how much love, how much affection, just to make them attached to him. Knowing if they are attached to him, they will follow what he speaks. They will accept his instructions. They will idolize his qualities and his characteristics. And the same for adults. If we simply can learn to transfer all of our attachments to material world, to attachment, to association with devotees, with sadhus, the path of liberation is clear in our life. Because in that association, what will we do? We will hear the glories of the Lord. We will live pure, sinless lives. We will chant the holy names of the Lord together. And we will all work together to provide the highest welfare services to humanity by advocating the pure principles of Sanatana Dharma within society. These are the natural activities, the only activities that take place in the association of sadhus. Oh, my mother, oh, virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this attachment will counteract the pernicious effects of material attachment. Is there any questions?
Attachment of Sivananda with dog and attachment of King Bharat with the deer. Because deer, King Bharat was also not an ordinary person. He was also attached to deer, not maybe but material thing. So how we can judge it?
The difference was that Maharaj Bharat developed an attachment to the deer toward its body. When it was drowning in the lake, it saved him from death. And then, gradually, he just became attached to the beauty of the deer. He became attached to the affection that the deer was showing him. And he became so much concerned with the physical welfare of this deer that he left behind all of his own sadhana and of all of his own worship to the Lord. Therefore, certainly, his activities was in the mode of goodness. But he departed from the transcendental platform. Whereas Shivananda Sen, his attachment was simply to bring that dog to Lord, to see Lord Chaitanya. He was attached to giving that dog all facilities and all happiness so that ultimately he would come before the Lord. He was not attached separate from Krishna. He was attached to showing compassion to that deer by bringing that deer to a higher state of Krishna consciousness. I mean that dog to a higher state of Krishna consciousness. There was absolutely nothing within the modes of material nature within the attachment of Shivananda Sen.
How we can understand that that we are attached to our family member, whether this is in the category of a dog or in the category of a deer?
When the test comes, then you can understand. And the tests will come. When we accept a spiritual master, when we have the association of sadhus, and the sadhu gives us good training of how to perfect our own lives and how to perfect the lives of our families, when we are not willing to accept the word of sadhu, but we have our own idea, we can understand that we have a family of deers. That's why you have to have guru. Without guru, you'll never understand. Guru will tell you, do like this. And if you say, all right, because I know if I obey you and serve you nicely, then all my family members will get the ultimate benefit of going back to Krishna. But if we think, but if I do this, it will interfere with my sense gratification. Therefore, we try to justify so many reasons not to do it. Then we understand it's very clear that there is material attachment to our family members. But if we are truly attached to bringing them back to Godhead, we will do everything within our power to help make them attached to Guru and Krishna and the sadhus. We will not try to keep them away. Keep them away until after their studies, keep them away until after their business, keep them away so that they'll take care of me when I'm old. This means material attachment. If you're really attached to that person's soul, then from the very beginning of that person's life, you will make every arrangement to develop a love and attachment for the sadhus and for Guru and for Krishna in that child. And you will orient the whole family around that. And the bona fide sadhus are teaching us how to do that. At their word, we should know we are really attached, like Shivananda is saying, to the dogs. Even though you're feeding them and you're working hard and you're bringing all their necessities, But the goal is always to bring them to the feet of God. Shivananda saying was his attachment was pure and spiritual, but yet how much he was concerned for feeding him and giving him proper place to stay and giving that dog proper transportation. We cannot neglect these things, but it is always directed toward Krishna. It is never in and of itself of any value. Its value is to the extent it is directed toward Krishna and his devotees. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? Someone will ask question, yes?
Maharaj, you were recently been to Dwarka. And you tell us in a short your realizations. You have recently been to Dwarka. So on this trip, what were your realizations or what experiences you had? You'd like to hear maybe 5-10 minutes.
My realization is that wherever you go with enthusiastic devotees who love to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that place is the kingdom of God. On the way to Dwarka, if you're having kirtan with devotees, it's as good as being in Dwarka. Because the holy place has come to life due to the vision of great souls who are seeing Krishna there. We went to one place which was the house of Sudama Vipra. And we were remembering the wonderful devotion of this great devotee. He was so poor that he was literally starving. He and his wife, their bodies were so lean and thin, and they were sickly with disease because they weren't properly caring for them. They didn't have enough food to even survive. And Sudamasvipa's wife cared nothing for her own condition of life. But it was painful for her to see her husband like that. So she asked him, please, you are good friends with Krishna. He's living in Dwarka in 16,108 palaces, each one more beautiful than that of Indra, the king of heaven. And he's also the husband of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. He's always anxious to make his devotees happy. So please ask him. We don't want a lot of wealth. We just want the basic necessities of survival. He will be happy to give. But Sudama Vipra was thinking, how can I ask anything material from Krishna? I am his servant. My position is to give to Krishna, not to take from Krishna. But to satisfy his wife, who was a great devotee herself, he decided to go. But he said, you cannot approach a great personality unless you give them a gift. This is the Vedic custom, that whenever going to a great person, you must offer something. They had nothing in the entire house to offer. There was nothing there. It was empty. It wasn't even a house. It was just some straw hut. So wife went to some neighbors and got 4 palmfuls of chipped rice. So he brought, it's a long story, but ultimately Krishna took one morsel of that chipped rice, and because it was offered with such love and devotion, it completely satisfied him. Even though he was receiving the most luxurious preparations from Lakshmi Devi's cooking wonderful, wonderful feasts every day, he was thoroughly satisfied by eating one morsel of this chipped rice. And in return, he gave Sudama Vipra a beautiful, beautiful palace with hundreds and hundreds of maid servants. Sudama was in the exact same consciousness while he was living in this beautiful palace as he was when he was starving. He was thinking everything belongs to Krishna, nothing is mine, everything is meant for his pleasure. He never became proud. He never thought, I am the controller, I am the proprietor. He was always thinking, I am only the humble servant. And after a short while, Krishna sent him back home, back to Godhead. So we went to that wonderful place. And we also went to Prabhaskchetra. Prabhaskchetra is the place that Krishna Balaram and all the Yadus left this world to return to Goloka. That was, have you ever been? Prabhaskchetra? That was the favorite place of all the devotees. Beautiful place. And we went to Dakur to visit Ramshwar Bhagwan. And everywhere we were going, the buses were breaking down and the trains were missing their connections. I'll give you an example of Krishna's mercy. That the Brahmachari's bus first broke down in Santa Cruz. Didn't get very far. How long were you in Santa Cruz?
6 hours.
6 hours. So they went to some vegetarian restaurant for prasad, correct? And they went there, and the bill was about almost 800 rupees, and someone that the devotees never even saw before just came in and said, I will pay for everyone. Huh? And he gave the whole 800 rupees and left. Nobody knows who he is. He may have been some demigod who descended just to offer seva to Gopinath's brahmacharis. Kardama Muni says he was Kubera. I don't know what authority he is speaking from. Speaking from the Sri Kardamaji Samhita. But then, the amazing thing is, this man just came from nowhere in such a wonderful seva. Somehow Krishna just wanted to give this personality the opportunity to do this seva. And after all, what is the whole brahmachari's life? To try to engage people in service? So actually, by breaking down the bus, he fulfilled all of their desires. And then on the way back from Dwarka, the bus broke down again. But first, when we were in Dwarka, at the Rukmini temple, when you're in Dwarka, you're supposed to have darshan of Dwarkadish, Rukmini, and bathe in the Gomati River as it's going into the ocean, the Sangam. If you do not do those three things, according to Shastra, your trip to Dwarka is incomplete. So while we were at the Rukmini Mandir, two of the leading disciples of Ranchurji Maharaj, Arvind Bhai Mafatlal's god brothers, who are the they are the managers of the Samadhi in Rajkot, they met us there, and they were very much giving us little gifts and begging, please come to our ashram in Rajkot. Please, we beg you, on your way from Dwarka, come through Rajkot and spend at least half day at our ashram. And I said, this time it is not possible because we must go right to Dakur. So the Brahmachari's bus broke down. Just 2-3 minutes walk from that Samadhi Mandir of Ranchurji Maharaj. They didn't know. They all of a sudden they see this beautiful place. It's a temple. They go in and there's those two trustees. They were saying, oh, you have come, so nice. Wonderful. We thought you wouldn't come, but you haven't come for our invitation. And they gave them nice prasad, nice rooms to sleep in, nice darshans. They had nice rest, huh? Breakfast and lunch both.
8 hours.
For 8 hours, they were with Ranchurji Maharaj's samadhi with all his devotees. And then they happily continued their journey.
This happened in train also. We took 12 hours to reach Surat and we took 12 hours to come from Surat. Today morning we took 12 hours and when we go from Surat, it took 12 hours. But it was so fantastic. All the devotees were so happy that we will never get this opportunity to sit down with a devotee and have such nice, wonderful kirtan and realization. So the 12 hours journey to coming from Surat to here, and from up to Surat, everybody relished like anything. Wonderful kirtan and realizations.
Yesterday in Surat, we had to have, they scheduled Rath Yatra, and we had to have it before the eclipse. So we had it from 2:30 in the afternoon till 4:30. And according to the newspapers, it was 44 degrees Celsius, or 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Huh? During the Rath Yatra. And every devotee, men, women, and children, for 2 hours were dancing in the heat of the sun. Completely forgot whether it was day or night. Correct? Yes? So we can see that when you're amongst Vaishnavas in the service of the Lord, then even when apparent inauspicious inconveniences come, they are transformed by the mercy of the Lord into some wonderful experience. Nothing is inauspicious for one who is remembering Krishna. The most inauspicious things become the most auspicious when we remember Krishna. Now this we are seeing within our own eyes. Because these devotees for this yatra, their only purpose for going on this yatra was simply to be with the Vaishnavas, to chant the holy names, to purify their hearts, and to remember Krishna. And materially, everything was going wrong at every step. And if a person was a materialist in this yatra, he probably would have gone crazy. But the devotees, they went crazy also, but crazy for Krishna. There is a famous saying that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the noonday Indian sun. Very famous saying. Even in America, everyone knows this saying. Only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the noonday Indian sun. But there's a third category, yesterday. Hare Krishna devotees. We are in the category of mad dogs and Englishmen. But we were just talking about how nice dogs are when they are attached to Guru and Krishna, when they are attached to sadhus. So our devotees are like dogs who are mad for Krishna. Any other questions? So we have come here tonight to teach all of you how to be mad dogs for Krishna. It comes by associating with devotees and chanting the holy names. In the company of the Vaishnavas, Krishna reveals himself most intimately when we chant the holy names of the Lord. So we'd like to teach all of you how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by his example the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. As I am chanting with folded palms, very attentively and feelingly hear the holy name. Allow it to enter through your ears into your heart. And when you are chanting, raise your arms like this, everyone too. We raise our arms as an offering of our body, our mind, our words, our very life to the holy name of God. This is a form of meditation which completely absorbs our body, our mind, our words, our very life in the highest purifying experience of Harinam Sankirtan. So let us all stand up.
Hari Bol. Shri Hari. Shri Radhe.
I would like to thank Mr. Mahesh Modi and his good wife for kindly making this wonderful event possible tonight. It is a great act of charity and a great service to Lord Sri Krishna to utilize whatever God has given us to help bring people together to hear the message of Krishna, to chant the name of Krishna, and to take the wonderful prasad of Krishna.